Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm going to be your host today, Belinda Ellsworth, and I have a great guest today, Mr. Jeff Gargas. He is the COO and co-founder of the Teach Better team, the GRID method in Teach Further. He works with educators to increase student engagement and improve student success. He also offers one-on-one coaching for teachers who have a product or idea that they want to share with others for better education. Prior to co-founding Teach Better, Jeff was the owner of E&I Multimedia, an online marketing firm where he worked with entrepreneurs and small businesses, assisting them with web design, social media, content marketing, and brand awareness. Prior to all of this, Jeff was an adjunctive professor at Kent State University and spent 10 plus years in the music industry, 5 years as the owner of FTF Records. He has spoken at conferences around the country and has successfully promoted more than 500 events and launched 7 businesses in a variety of industries. It is my pleasure today to welcome Jeff Gargas.
Well, hi, Belinda. Thank you, first off, so much for having me on. I love your podcast and I love what you're doing. So it's really an honor of mine to get on here and chat with you and have some fun today.
Oh, good. Well, that's what I like, is to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, let's
and
do
so,
that.
And so, yeah, what an awesome bio there. You've done a lot. I was going to say, so fill in some of the gaps from your bio and tell us a little bit more about your journey, but you've laid out that nicely. So what I would love you to do in this question then is, you know, we've got some idea of kind of some of the things you did in the past, but how was it that you landed on this business today? So with your past things and experiences that you have, what made you decide to start this business? And then tell us a little bit about the business in specifically.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting, and I will try to keep it short, but I don't do short well. You can ask my team, they'll tell you that. But it's actually a lot of the past and the things that I've, the journey that I've taken that actually led me here. It wasn't necessarily a decision, but oddly enough, I'm actually a 3-time college dropout, which is fun when I get to tell people that I was an adjunctive professor when I didn't have a college degree, and now here I am. I work with teachers all the time, which is not where I thought I'd be. And it was actually a connection from one of my past lives in the music industry that connected me and brought me into this industry. And an artist that I used to manage back when I had the record label, he was a drummer named Chad, is Chad Ostrowski, who created the GRID method. And Chad was a teacher in Northeast Ohio and created this system called the GRID method that we now promote and train on and stuff out of necessity in his classroom. He was struggling to reach his students, struggling to just kind of get by and just really barely surviving every day, and decided he needed to make some changes. Saw Mastery Learning as something that could answer a lot of the questions that he had and challenges he was facing, and created the system. Started catching on, and other people started asking about it and questioning him about it and trying to figure out more about it. And he came to me at the time. You mentioned E&I Multimedia. I was working online, doing a lot of content marketing, things of that nature. And Chad came to me about creating the ebook. He thought maybe if he should put up online somewhere, teachers could go get a little bit of info there, and then he could answer follow-up questions. And the story that I like to tell is that I was driving around circles in my neighborhood in the dark. It was raining. It was late. And Chad was telling me about what these changes and these things he had done in his classroom had done for not just for his students, but also for him as a teacher and as a husband and as a father. And I stopped him in my famous inspirational words were, "Dude, we're not just doing an ebook." And from there, it's kind of grown. We decided to share everything we could. We started creating content, created an online course. And it's grown a whole lot from there. We still obviously do a lot of work with the GRID method, but we do so much more now. So what we really do is we work with schools and teachers and districts all over the country, and we provide, the simplest form is that we provide live professional development. We also have an online academy where we're constantly creating online professional development for teachers as well, and we work with them. We consult with educators, we consult with districts. But the biggest thing that we do is we try to support teachers in any way we can, and educators in general, to help them grow every day and be better for their students. So our goal is just simply the teach better thing isn't about being better than that teacher or that one or being perfect or anything like that. It's the teach better mindset is all about being better today than we were yesterday and better tomorrow than we were today, because our students deserve that and we want to push that. So that's sort of the I tried to do short. I don't know how well I do on short, but it was an interesting journey to get here. It's not where I thought I was going to end up, but it's where I feel like now is where I'm supposed to be. It's where I've been sort of training my whole life for, and so many of the little things that I've done in so many different random industries and positions and stuff allow me to now be able to help our team function the way we do and support teachers and stuff. So it's been a really fun adventure so far.
That is fantastic. It seems like today, just with the way that everything's going in the schools and school district, and it just seems like that this is probably very much timely needed assistance or business to have right now. Don't you think that teachers are probably struggling a little bit more than they ever have?
Yeah, I do. I think teachers are in a very unique position because, you know, teaching is the only profession that trains all other professions, right? If you think about that, I mean, that's a heavy task to wear on your shoulders, that you're trying to build a foundation and or train in very extensive courses, depending on where you fall on the educational journey. But you're training everyone else. You're training doctors and lawyers and restaurant workers and podcast hosts and business owners and stuff. You're, as a teacher, you're developing those young minds to grow into these other minds that are going to lead. And I think a really challenging thing that teachers are in now is the space that we're trying to educate students for and prepare them for future jobs that haven't been created, that we don't even know how to guess at what they're going to be, that are going to be using technology that we can't even really necessarily even dream about yet, that we have no idea where it's going to be at. And that's a really tough chore. And I think they face even more scrutiny now than they ever have. Mm-hmm. But I also think we're in a really unique position in education, in the sense that this is the first time in forever that the technology is finally where it needs to be to allow teachers to get out of the box and be experimental and actually attempt to properly train for those future jobs and those future careers that students are going to have. So it's a challenging time for teachers, but it's also a really exciting time. And the connection, the internet and social media has made it so fun to see the connections and the support groups that teachers are able to get for themselves from all over the world versus just down the hall or in the classroom next door. So it's both a challenging time, but I think it's a really exciting time. I think there's a lot of really great things going on, and we're really excited to be a part of it.
Well, that's great. So then tell us a little bit then how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
So I think a big piece of what business this has done, and really for me, is I've always had an appreciation for teachers. I've always respected them, but getting a little bit further into closer to the trenches, as they say, and working with them daily, like my level of appreciation for teachers that I've had in my life and the teachers that now my kids have is skyrocketed off the charts. And getting to see that and experience that and seeing the impact that they get to have every day has been really, really cool for me. I think the business in general, a couple big things that it's done for me personally is it's shifted. You know, you rattled off my bio. There's a lot of stuff on there. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't even mention in there, that, you know, my time that I spent running restaurants or running bars or opening a bar with someone and doing things that are in a bunch of different other, industries. I've done insurance sales. I've done sales in department stores. I've had a lot of different experiences, and I've always had a lot of plates in the air, a lot of things that I was doing. Like, I would start multiple businesses at the same time because I never knew what was going to work and what wasn't. And I was so worried that if I didn't have a bunch of stuff going on, that one thing was going to fall and then I'm not going to have anything. And this is it's the first time in my life that I'm centered and I'm focused and I'm, dare I say, balanced, because I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. This is what I've been doing. This is what I've been failing for my entire life, right? Is getting ready for this. So, that's been probably the biggest impact. And then another piece has just been our team. We're a small team, a young team, but we're a tight-knit team, and we're holding each other to a higher standard of taking care of ourselves, eating healthy, running, working out, running team challenges related to that. And that's something that I've never really focused on. So that has been a very personal positive to me that's been really incredible.
That's awesome that you're doing that. I think that we're starting to see more and more of that in the workplace, where, you know, because when you feel healthy and, you are in a better place and you take the time to do that, your performance overall in every area of your life is better.
Absolutely.
I know that for sure.
I'm a better father, better husband, yep. and a far better leader when I'm feeling healthier now than I have since I was probably in high school and working on that. And it's been, it's a game changer. So
that is awesome. So what do you think two of your greatest skill sets are that have really helped you succeed in owning your own business or businesses for that matter?
I think one for sure is my ability to build relationships. I think that's been a key to pretty much everything I've done in my life, no matter where I've gone. I've been told for many, many years that I'm a I know a guy, meaning that pretty much anything we're talking about, I'm probably going to somewhere in our conversation say, well, I know someone who does that. Well, I think I know someone that can help you. I know this guy who does that, or I know this woman who's really great at this. And I think that comes from I've never looked at people who are potentially competitors of mine as competitors. I've always looked at them as potential partners and how can we help each other and how can we do more good together versus fighting each other. So I'm constantly trying to connect people. And I think from doing that and having a genuine want and a desire to help them versus helping them because I think they can help me later has, I think, really helped open a lot of doors for me to take some risk and go after things. And, you know, just even when we started this business, you know, people that I've made connections to via my, you know, doing web design or in the music industry or in the restaurant industry or whatever it might have been, or back, you know, back even further, those connections have actually come into play and help us do certain things or learn certain things that have helped us grow. So I think those connections have always been big. And then I combine that with my love and my passion for just working with people and helping them grow. And in my experience, I have quite a bit of experience in managing a very wide variety and diverse variety of personalities and people, I think have really given me the skills that I need to support our team and do what we have to do to grow. Like I said, we're still a young team, a small team, so we all wear a lot of hats. So there's a lot of mm-hmm. managing that has to go on, so I credit a lot of that just to my ability to continually focus on building relationships and always trying to give more in a relationship than I take. And that's a big focus of mine always.
That's an important one for sure. So what do you think one of your most outstanding accomplishments is?
So I think I sort of have two. I mean, one has been the growth of our team. My co-founder, Chad, came into this business and he thought he was going to do an ebook, and I flipped his life upside down. And it's been he wouldn't change it for a world. I know that. But it's been a crazy journey. And he went from being a classroom teacher to now having to lead this team and manage this business that's growing larger than we ever thought it would. And to see him grow the way he has as a leader, not just of our team, but also a leader in the industry and stuff, has just been really just, to me, just feels great as an accomplishment. And then watching our team, we have two amazing teachers that lead all of our curriculum development and our training. That's Tiffany Ott and Ray Hewitt, who watching them grow from thinking of themselves as quote unquote just teachers to now seeing themselves as the educational leaders that they are and helping other teachers around the country grow is just such a proud Papa Jeff moment every time I see that. But I think a story that I love to share is a story of several years ago. Chad and I were doing a classroom visit to a district that is implementing the GRID method. So we go in and we just kind of hang out with the teachers to make sure we support them. We're huge on support for teachers. We don't just train and leave. We're always in the schools there just to help them. And we were in a classroom with a teacher who was running the GRID method, and he was, just doing amazing. Like, his class was so engaged and everyone's working at their own pace, being met where they need to be met, and just amazing. We were just sitting back and watching it. And I leaned over to a student and I asked him, I said, do you like the changes that's been made in the class? And he said, yeah, I really do. And I said, well, what do you like most? And this was a young kid, I think seventh grade, I believe it was, and very noticeable stutter, you could tell, very shy and stuff. But he said, I don't feel like I'm always behind anymore. I don't feel like I'm dumb and no one makes fun of me anymore. And like, I literally, like, Blaine, I have goosebumps right now, and I've told that story a million times, but every time I think about that, that was the moment where Chad and I walked out of the room and I looked at him. I said, if everything falls apart tonight or tomorrow and this all goes away, I said, I can sleep easy at night knowing that we did that right there. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, regardless of how much we've grown since then, and then we've grown a ton since then and everything's different now, and no matter what we do, like, that is going to be just the ability to have an impact on even one single kid and change the way he perceives himself in education, but also just his educational journey. Like, that to me is an accomplishment that is really hard to beat.
Absolutely. I would agree with that 100%. So on the opposite of that, what's something that has been a great challenge or something that you have faced, and how did you work through that?
I think, you know, I'm very common. It's very common for me to say that I'm very fortunate to have failed a lot, because I've learned from those failures and I love sharing that. But the one thing I don't always say, because it's not as, you know, not as flashy to say, is that I didn't usually enjoy those failures as I was failing and running into them. And I had, you know, when I was younger, my plan for my life, my dream was to be a big famous rock star, which is not an odd one, as you know, not very uncommon. But mine had a little different twist, because I wanted to be a big rock star so that I could start a record label and help other people become big rock stars. So, like, I had this dream of doing that, and I never got to there. As I got older, I realized obviously that's pretty hard to do. But I was able to start a record label, and I was able to help some bands do some things, and it went pretty well for about 5 years or so, and we were doing good things. I was traveling the country, speaking at conferences, meeting platinum recording artists, meeting major level producers and things of that nature, and meeting artists all over the world that were turning to me for help. And in the local scene, we had a concert division. We were putting on 150 plus shows every year at a couple local venues. We ran a music business conference here. We were doing all these things, and I became known as they all called me Jeff TF, because it was FTF Records, and I was becoming sort of the guy that could take you from help you from the lower level and get your game ready to go up a little bit. And I was, in my mind, I was quote unquote somebody. And you know, it was a tough time in the industry, and I made some mistakes, and CD sales were plummeting, and we ended up running out of money. I mean, plain simple, I had to shut everything down. I had to tell my artist that we couldn't finish the album we were working on. I had to fire my staff, tell them I had to let them go. I had to tell my wife and my family and everyone who had supported me that it was all falling apart and that I failed. And I fell into a lot of depression, and I'm over that now. That's helped me more now, looking back at the failure. But that was a really tough time, because I really got hit with a lot of self-doubt. Mm-hmm. I was unclear on who I was, and I actually tell a story of, like, I pushed everyone away for a while and just kind of hid, and months later, like, it all kind of boiling to the top, and I just hit my back against the wall in our hallway and just lost it, just started crying. I had nothing left, and my wife, who I had been hiding pretty well from, asked me what was going on. I looked at her and I said, if I'm not Jeff TF, who am I? And she just looked at me the way only my wife can do. And she just looks at me and she goes, well, you're Jeff, and I love you. And she walks away. And, like, she didn't realize what she did at that time, but she instilled now something that I've held on since then, is that if you're not you and you're not enough without success, then you're never going to be with it. And that's been a big thing that I've taken from that. And I still deal with self-doubt. There's still days that things are going really well, and I think to myself, you don't deserve this. Like, you fail. You're not going to make it. Like, this success won't last because you don't deserve it. And I have to remind myself that that's not what's important. What's important is that I know who I am. I'm sticking to my values. I'm doing what I know, what I believe is right, and that I'm being a good person. And as long as I'm that, it doesn't matter whether I get the success I think I need or not, I'm going to be okay. And so it was a challenge that I still, you know, have to deal with from time to time, but I've figured out some pretty good ways of how to push that down and get through it and stuff. So
that's great. You said so many things there, but I think the biggest thing is that we all have this self-doubt, and it's like learning how to work through that, and it's really being good with yourself. That was a really great comment that you made, and sometimes it is having others believe in us. And so as mentors, we do have to let other people know that they're worth it, or that we believe in them, because it's usually some one little thing that somebody says that can completely turn around your frame of mind. And so I say that because I think that the word choices we use and many times in mentoring other people, and even just little pieces of advice or just positive comments that we give to people, or letting them, you know what we do. I just really think it's so important that people don't underestimate that.
Absolutely.
That's one big thing that you said. And the other one is failing forward. It's like when you're going through those failures, they're not comfortable. And they don't feel good. But if everybody could just understand when they're going through it, it's like, this is just a season. And what I'm learning from this is going to take me so much further. And I know that they hear stories and hear us talk about it, but there's a real big movement, if you will, in society today. And that is, this fear of failure is stronger than it's ever been. And we have to just let people know that it's only through the failures that you ever get stronger. Like, with each failure, you will get stronger. You will learn skill sets that will take you and prepare you into probably the greatest thing that is yet to happen in your life.
Absolutely. And that's, and, you know, that's actually becoming in the educational world, like, that's becoming such a huge thing that teachers are moving to, is teaching kids that it's okay to fail, because when we fail, now we get to learn. Now we get to experiment and figure out, why did we fail? Why didn't we figure out that math problem? Why did we not get the, you know, the passing grade on this? Why haven't we mastered this project or this system? Now we get to learn. Now we get to educate ourselves. Now we get to research. Now we get to grow. And I think there's a wave coming, as we keep instilling that in the, from our teachers leading the way on that, that is going to allow us as a society to embrace it more and to grab the fail. You know, there's all these, I can't remember the number, what it is, Thomas Jefferson saying he didn't like figure out how to do the create the light bulb. He figured out 10 million ways not to do it, you know? And exactly. But it's so much easier said than done, unfortunately, like, looking back. But it's so crucial, because we literally make decisions almost every day based on my failures in the past, where I'm like, yeah, we can't do that because I did this and this is what happened. So we need to switch that up. And it's the same thing with teachers, where they test out a theory, an idea, a lesson, the project they have, and it falls flat on their face, and they say, okay, well, I can't do it like that next time, so now I'm going to switch it up. So it's important to know that tomorrow is a new day. It's another chance to start over and learn from what you did today and be better. So love it.
Absolutely. So what's working from your happy place mean to you, Jeff?
I really think the key is just, and this is going to sound cliche, but just being fulfilled in what I do every day is the biggest piece. There's this, what I consider it's a misconception, or I'll just say it's a straight up lie of this, find something you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Like, I think that's completely false and not true in any way at all. You can find something you love, but you're still going to work hard. And chances are, if you find something you love, you're going to work harder than you ever thought you would. And you're still going to have stress. You're going to have long hours. You're going to run into challenges. It's going to be rough. But if you find something you love, all that stuff's more worth it. And it's easier to do. But I think that's the key, is it has to be something you love. It has to be something you're passionate about. You know, I've left several higher paying jobs than what we pay me now, that were stable with big corporations that had great healthcare plans and retirement packages. And I could have, you know, had a probably really nice career with them and retired and been perfectly like fine and financially stable and stuff. But I've left them to start crazy dreams and new businesses, because I have to love what I'm doing. I figured that out about 10 years ago or so, like, that I have to do what I love or nothing else matters. And my wife is the same way, and we both look at that the same way, which obviously is helpful. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest thing of being from my happy place is just knowing that I'm excited to get up every day. That doesn't mean I jump out of bed literally every day. I mean, I get up pretty quick, but, you know, I know there's stress. There's days that are better than others, and there's days that I know it's going to be a rough day or whatnot, and I'm tired. But I jump up excited still to do what we do, and proud of what we're doing, and feel good about what I do every day. And I think that's the biggest piece, is being it, because it's pretty much impossible, or I'll say impossible, to find a place where you're happy literally 24/7, because things happen. But right. If you're in your happy place, in my mind, is somewhere where even when all that stuff goes wrong and those things pop up, you can still return to that centered happiness and be proud of what you're doing and feel good about it. So
absolutely,
that's the happy place to me.
Well, that's great. That's awesome. I'd have to agree with that. What advice would you give to others who want to be entrepreneurs?
Prepare yourself for the ride. And this is cliche as well, but if it was easy, everyone would do it. I mean, everyone wants to be their boss. It sounds really cool to make your own schedule, but it's not easy. It's really hard. And it's tough. And then I would say embrace failure. And we've talked about that, obviously, but also embrace criticism. because you're going to get criticism when you try to step out on your own and do something crazy like being an entrepreneur. You're probably going to get criticism from people who love you, who you think would support you no matter what. And it's going to come from a loving place, but it's going to happen. When you fail, it's going to be there. But you got to embrace failure, embrace criticism, and then learn from both of them. Look back at those lessons, be reflective. And then from more of a like technical standpoint, is this is a big one, is understand your cash flow needs as a business. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a solopreneur or you're running a full-scale business, you need to know always, every single day, where your cash flow is, where your reserve is at, and what your forecast and projection looks like, because that is one of the number one killers of small businesses and new businesses, is a lack of cash flow. You run out of money. And it doesn't matter how well you're doing on marketing yourself online or selling things. If you don't have the cash in the bank, it's not going to work. So that's like a technical one. Then another thing would be building your support team. And I've already sort of touched on it, but you got to believe in what you're doing, because money as a motivator will only last so long and through so much. Eventually, you got to get to where you are in your happy place and you believe in what you're doing. But I think the most important thing that I would say is don't ride the roller coaster, is what I call it. And if you can kind of picture like drawing on a chalkboard or a whiteboard, and I'm drawing upwards like a roller coaster hill. And that's like, you know, that's the moment where you get that call or you lock in that sales meeting and you know it's going to go well. But then it comes crashing down and you go even further than your original start point because they canceled the meeting and now they're dodging your calls. And then you're back up because teachers loved what we were talked about at that conference and their curriculum director is going to call us. And never mind, they don't even answer our emails or they gave us the wrong number. And then a district was going to utilize one of our systems and change the lives of students and they decided to go another way. And you have this sort of up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And then imagine a line going right through the middle horizontally. That's the people who win in entrepreneurship. You can't allow your emotions to drag you up and down based on the day-to-day win here or lost there. You have to stay steady. You can still celebrate your wins. Don't get me wrong. Like, celebrate that, have fun, but keep your mind steady and focus on your end game and what you're trying to do and believe in what you're doing, and don't let that roller coaster take you for a ride because it will take you right out of the game really quick. So that's probably the best piece of advice I've ever gotten. So I love to be able to pass that on.
And that's great advice. I use a roller coaster analogy often as well. And I always say, I like to say, you're never going to get that straight line, but if you could just make it.
Well, it's
like a little worm, right? Think of it like a little caterpillar, right? I always say it's like a caterpillar, like trying to get to there instead of these big ups and these big downs. But I loved all of the examples that you gave because some people give that analogy, but they don't give examples. And what you said happens every single day. And those are big up and down, but it is not attaching your emotions to them. That is the key. That was the most valuable thing that you said, because you're going to have them and you have to be able to say, oh, well, like I have to move on. Well, that was a bummer. Move on. The quicker that I move on and I go to what's our next thing that we have on our docket, what's the next thing that we're going to do? But I think too many people get emotionally attached. Well, why did they do that? Why didn't they like us? Well, why did they pick them over us? Well, what was it that they were looking for? What could we have done differently? It's just too much time wasted because there's never really there might not even be a solid answer. It might have been that somebody's brother said, go with these people because I know Joe. And they did. And so that's what I've learned after 25 years. It's quit getting emotionally attached to it. And the quicker that you go, well, bummer. Move on and go on to your next project, the better off that you're going to be.
And so many times, like, the reason they don't buy from you is timing.
Yes.
It was just the wrong time. It didn't make sense today. And it's hard to like detach yourself and realize that you're not the most important thing in their inbox, even though they might be really important to you, right? Like, they have a million other things going on. It's not personal. And right. I mean, unless you did something to make it personal, but like if you're doing it right, it's not personal. So don't take it that way. Put them on the list. Call them back later. Right. And come back to it. And so it's the same thing with just like when you're working on something too, like you mess it up, turn around. I love the caterpillar though. I think I'm stealing that. I'm not going to lie. Because these dips, right? You're still going to have these dips and these little things, even though but if you stay as straight as possible on that line, that's the key.
Detach
the moment. So love it.
Awesome. All right. Well, in closing, can you tell us anything exciting that maybe you're working on? And could you tell us how everybody can find you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm really excited about we have our online academy at teachbetteracademy.com, and there's a bunch of free courses over there and paid courses. And I'm excited because we've got so many courses in the works that we're trying to put out. We're just trying to give as much value as we possibly can put out there for teachers. We have a $9 a month membership fee that gets you, like a subscription fee that gets you everything we've got in there, automatically rolled all the new courses, or you can buy them individually. And then again, there's a lot of free courses. We're constantly trying to put out more free courses too. So I'm excited about that. Really excited about, we launched a podcast called Teach Better Talk back in August, and it's been so well received and going so well. And we have so many amazing episodes coming up. So I'm super excited about that. Next November 2019, we are putting on a educational conference here in Northeast Ohio, which there aren't any. Teach Better Conference. I'm excited to start being able to push some of that out. And I don't know when this episode's going to air, so I might be speaking earlier than I should have because we haven't announced this yet, but we are working on a book that we are going to be published internationally with. I'll leave the publishing name out now just in case, but it's going to be called Teach Better. And it's myself, the co-founder of the company, Chad, and then our two leaders, Tiffany Ott and Ray Hewitt. We are writing all four of our voices together around the Teach Better philosophy and the concept. So I'm really excited about that. And then I have a couple books that I'm working on. One called Do It Anyway and one called Classroom Inc. I'm super excited about all that. So a lot of stuff going on. If you want to connect with me, honestly, one of the best ways to do it is on Twitter. I'm just at Jeff Gargas. That's G-A-R-G-A-S. That's the best place to answer. I'm always checking. I will answer if you DM me or just tweet at me, whatever. You can always get me at jeff@teachbetter.com. I'll respond to that as well. And then we're all over social media as Teach Better Team. So love connecting with people, would love to build relationships and offer whatever help I can with someone who's trying to take on their journey to find their happy place. So.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. This has been absolute delight. You gave so much wonderful information, and thanks for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you so much. It was true an honor. I really love what you're doing, Belinda. I love the podcast, and I'm so excited to be on it and really happy. So I appreciate the invite.
Well, I'm so glad that you're helping the students out there, because I think they need some guidance, and these teachers need some additional guidance with working and their future. So what a great place to be in.
I'm excited to be there.
All right. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.